You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, welcome back to the first show of the new year, the Political Cesspool Radio Program, Saturday evening, January 7th, as we broadcast to you live tonight from AM 1600 WMQM in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course the Internet, which gives us such a wide audience across the country and around
and the world.
And we are here with you every day, well, every Saturday of the year, but year-round, the calendar from January to December, we're here. And we're here with you with the very best, and we have the very best for you tonight. A man that is simply known around the studio here in Memphis as the professional. The professional, Sean Bergen, has been a wonderful correspondent for us over the course of the past 2 years, making very regular appearances and contributions to our work here. He's a former television news reporter in New York, as you know, and now the host of his own brand new radio program, Straight to the Point with Sean Bergen. You can catch that show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on WLINY in Long Island, New York, WLINY.com. Sean, welcome back, brother. Great to have you here on the first show of the new year.
Great to be back, James. And I just want to make a quick correction. That's Thursday nights from 8 to 10, WLINY.
Was it Thursday?
Thursday nights, yeah.
Well, I should know because I was on your last show with you. My apologies. Indeed. Thursday night.
Yeah,
Thursday night, WLINY. Okay. Well, the days do blur in together, they seem. But anyway, Thursday, WLINY.com, Sean Bergen Show. You got to catch this program. All right, Sean. Well, you know why you're here tonight. Break down the facts. We did it in the first hour, but I want you to break them down in your own way. Here at the top of the second, and we're going to get into something that pertains especially to you, but the situation in Chicago. Go, Sean.
Well, I mean, what an unfortunate and just really despicable situation that was. It really caught the national attention, I think, first on social media, and that's what really drove the news coverage of this special needs young man in suburban Chicago who was kidnapped by four young thugs. Would probably be an insult to thugs to even refer to these folks as thugs. But they kidnapped this young man, and they drove him down to the hood in Chicago. And for a couple of
tortured
days, from what I understand, they beat, tortured this guy, made him drink water out of a toilet, scalped him with a knife so that his scalp was bleeding, insulted him, made him renounce his own race, made him renounce President Donald Trump, and you know, initially, what we got out of the Chicago police was they tried to downplay the incident while the rest of the country was screaming for these animals to be charged with a hate crime. That didn't happen right away. We had elements of the liberal news media trying to downplay the situation. And immediately, you know, with our suspect news media, people began to look at the situation and say, wait a minute. What if this situation were reversed? How would these folks be treating this situation? Eventually, I think they were just kind of shamed into recognizing that these kids should be charged with a hate crime, which eventually happened. We don't really see the news media, running with it the way they would if if this were like another Duke LaCrosse case. You know,
great point.
I think shows the hypocrisy of the left. It shows also, I think, should really start to highlight that, not only do we have a big problem in this country with black criminality, but with, more specifically, with black on white crime. people talk a lot about black on black crime, but rarely is it mentioned, you know, the problem that we have with black on white crime, especially where it concerns things like assault, felony assault, murder, robbery, rape. When you look at the incidents of blacks committing these crimes against whites, as opposed to whites committing these crimes against blacks, I mean, you know, white on black rape is virtually non-existent. But when you look at the statistics going the other way, whether it's rape or murder or assault, the statistics are staggering. I mean, black folks are, according to the last FBI stats we saw on this, which was probably just prior to the Obama administration, you know, it looks that, you know, black criminals are 40 times more likely to have to commit crimes, violent crimes specifically, against white people. And, you know, there's not a lot of people out there who've really been willing to stick their necks out and talk about this the way that you have here in the political cesspool. Jim Lancia, of course, the great retired Bridgeport cop who has compiled statistics on this and written a great book about it called Downtown White Cop, and a regular contributor here to the cesspool.
He'll be on right after you tonight, yes, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, people talk about statistics. The numbers don't lie. And the numbers are staggering. They are really just astonishing, and they need to be addressed. We need to start talking about this now. We need to shine a light on this, you know, and get some sunlight on this problem, because that's the only way we're going to disinfect the problem.
Well, Sean, this is Keith Alexander. As we say here, denial is not just a river in Africa. The media has been in full denial mode on all of these type of crimes. And like you said, white on black rapes always comes in at less than 10 a year, which means the actual number could be zero, because less than 10 won't register on the Justice Department's database.
There's actually more movies made about white on black rape per year than actual occurrences, as we saw in A Time to Kill.
And then on the other hand, yeah, I knew that situation, by the way. They said it was based on a true story, the Time to Kill supposed rape of a black girl. It was based on a real story, only they reversed the races of the perpetrator and the victim, okay? Now, the other thing is, black on white rapes every year comes in at about around 36,000. That would be 100 a day. But it doesn't exist. It's like this police chief in Chicago. He reminded me of the old Art Linkletter television show. He said, kids do the darndest things, you know. Can you believe that they're not taking that seriously? And now they're about to sweep it under the rug because of this shooting in Fort Lauderdale taking precedence.
Well, yeah, I think that they are more than willing and more than ready to want to move on to the next story. As you know, like we were saying, if the roles were reversed here, this would be at least a 2-week story. It would be round the clock coverage. Be, you know, a media firestorm visible from orbit. You'd have Pearl Harbor headlines. It'd be the lead story in every major newscast, and this would go on for weeks on end. And literally 48 hours after this has happened. You know, hate crime charges have been brought, and the victim's GoFundMe page, I understand, is up to about $80,000. So I guess all
wow.
is...
Wow.
But, you know, wow. If the situation were reversed, the entire white culture would be, ready to be skewered, just like...
On trial.
In room.
All right. Hold up right there, brother. Hey, does anyone do it better than Sean Bergen? They don't. That's the answer. I can tell you that right now. Be sure to check Sean out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, WLINY.com. Straight to the Point with Sean Bergen. We got him for one more segment tonight, so stay tuned for that also. We'll be right back.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Sean Bergen with us now. The great former television news reporter, now current radio host of Straight to the Point with Sean Bergen, Thursday nights in Long Island, New York, WLINY.com. Great show. I was tremendously honored to be Sean's guest a couple of days ago, and now he's back with us this evening. Sean, there was something that you brought out on your show that needs to be repeated here tonight. Of course, as our regular listeners know, you were essentially dismissed from your position as a television news reporter for making the exact, and I mean exact, same comment that Don Lemon made. Obviously, the situations were different. You were talking about a rookie cop who was gunned down by a young black thug. And in this case, Don Lemon was commenting on the situation in Chicago that we've been talking about all night tonight. But what was the similarities? I know we don't have the clip queued up as you did on your program, but what did Don Lemon say on CNN a couple of days ago?
Well, essentially, he was reluctant to characterize the act of what these kids did, this act of torture that they committed against this young special needs man, a white man, who was clearly targeted for his race. He backed away from actually calling it evil and instead said that it was probably a function of poor house training. I'm not quite sure what house training is. I mean, that sounds like something you do.
It wasn't housebroken, apparently.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, let's face it. He's, he's a nice-looking black gay man who's on CNN. So, you know, he's a protected class. There's no way he's ever going to lose his job or even be reprimanded for it. He'll probably get a pay raise and a promotion for talking about the fact that he wasn't sure who the guardians were of these kids. Or, you know, I mean, that might be a bad idea. Maybe Don Lemon should move his CNN set out to the front doorstep of this kid's house, and so he can ambush and interview the kid's parents. If they can find them, well, especially the father. That's what I want to know. I want to
probably be mugged if he did.
Yeah, well, you know, trot them out here. Let's hear what they have to say, and let's hear what went so horribly wrong or horribly awry in their kid's psychological makeup or their upbringing to lead them to think that this was okay behavior. Because not only did they torture this kid, but they Facebooked streamed it live like they were running their own newscast. Where, you know, I mean, these kids felt legitimized in this behavior, that this was something that they would broadcast to the world, and whoever their friends are and their supporters are would likely cheer them on, as I'm sure they did. So, you know, it's we're going to need to start talking about this whole issue of reverse racism, or maybe black-on-white racism. Nobody wants to talk about that. And nobody wants to talk about the fact that these kids are growing up poorly parented, certainly. I mean, most of them without families. Look, the national average for African-American kids growing up in homes without fathers is somewhere around 73-75%. That's the national average. When you go into poor ghetto neighborhoods, I can tell you that figure is up well over 90%. And we see these kids who are 8, 9, 10 years old driving the bicycles around at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I used to see it all the time. Well, you know, why is that? And why is that acceptable behavior? And how come nobody is calling attention to that? And why isn't Don Lemon shining a light on fatherless homes in America's inner cities? I mean, he can very casually, in a very blasé kind of way, just kind of dismiss it and blow it off. But, you know, these guys feel like just because they've made mention of it just once, now they're covered. They don't really have to go in depth. They don't have to look at the failures of liberalism. They don't need to look at the wrecking ball that is modern liberalism and how it has destroyed black families, black communities, and turned our inner cities into combat zones because they're too busy with their fingers pointed at the cops. You know?
Well, Sean, this is Keith. Let me just say this. The hate crime law, the federal hate crime law that they brought up for passage 43 times, it was defeated. They got it passed at the 44th try in Congress, is race neutral. If you prosecuted racially animated black on white crime the way that they prosecute white on black racially animated crime, I guarantee you that the conservative estimate would be 80% of the prosecutions would be prosecutions of blacks.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a very good point. Years ago, and this may be going about 5 or 6 years ago, I was working as a news reporter on a story that involved black-on-white crime, and I actually asked the public information officer if this guy could be charged with a hate crime. I said I didn't think that applied to black people, that it only applied to white people. And he laughed, and he says, oh, no, it applies to black people too. I said, well, you'd never know it by the news coverage. And then we both laughed. I literally did not fully understand at that point. I thought it was only white people that could be charged with hate crimes.
Hey, Sean, I want to say this very quickly. One of the things that Don Lemon specifically mentioned, and rightly so, I might add, I want to give some credit here, is that there is a problem with the lack of fathers in black homes. Now, that probably wasn't the sole reason for what happened in Chicago, God knows, but it is a legitimate point. It's the point you made, which...
And lost your job for.
Exactly. Basically, we're shown the door for pointing out that exact same fact. Don Lemon makes it, and of course, that can be the only...
He probably up for a Pulitzer.
The only reason that this horrific torture kidnapping took place. So, number one, there's a double standard there that has to be pointed out. You say it, and there's hell to pay. He says it, and oh my goodness, what prescient insight. Now, would Don Lemon have said that, Sean, had it been four white thugs kidnapping a mentally disabled black man?
But he'd be excusing.
No. We'd be looking at Don Lemon coverage right now around the clock, 24/7. They'd have the set moved out to Chicago the same way they did to, they moved their show up to Newtown after that shooting up there so that they can go live around the clock from location to – look, this is the problem with – a lot of people don't recognize that the bias that exists in the news media has as much to do with the emphasis and the repetition that they place on stories as much as the stories they choose to cover or not cover. And by giving that wall-to-wall, round-the-clock, drumbeat, you can't escape it. And, you know, this is the point where I say, you know, maybe journalism is now drifting into mind control or mass mind control because it's just so unbearable. The contrast couldn't be more stark. I mean, the hypocrisy is such that, you know, most clear-thinking adults are able to recognize this, but you put it to these guys in the news media who live in these media bubbles, and they're unable to see it. Or if you do point it out to them, their first impulse is to go into a state of denial, which is, it's like dealing with a drug addict.
It's like we said, denial is not just a river in Africa.
We only have seconds remaining, and I had wanted to cover this in a little more depth, but with regard, the vis-a-vis you and Don Lemon had to be brought out. But the situation in Fort Lauderdale, again, only seconds remaining. Apparently, the shooter was a Latino Muslim, if you can believe it. That's a double dip of diversity. Could there be a better living embodiment of why we should build the wall and register radical Islamicists? And do you think that under the Trump administration, he will be, as he promised to be, the law and order candidate, that we will see the Black Lives Matter thugs, the burning of cities, the murder, the rioting,
prosecuted,
acts of domestic terrorism? Do you think that'll be curtailed to some extent?
I think it's going to be reversed in a lot of ways, because that tone and that is set at the top. You know, we saw what we had for the last 8 years, where these black radical groups and this, savage behavior was embraced by the White House. We're going to see an utter rejection of that. And I think that's going to embolden our police officers on the street to begin more aggressive policing. But also the public now is going to be able to step forward, that silent majority, and say, hey, we've had enough of this crap. And, you know, if that means we got to build a wall, then we're going to build a wall. If that means we got to take this Esteban Santiago and put him on a no-fly list immediately and also go to his house. Instead, you know, he walked into an FBI office and told them that he was being inspired by ISIS. He was also hearing voices in his head. Well, why wasn't this guy referred immediately to, I think he went for psychological treatment, but why was he allowed to board a plane? Why was he allowed... They returned his gun to him, from what I understand.
Look, Sean, this is Keith. If they prosecuted blacks for hate crimes like they do whites, the U.S. Attorney General's office would be, that'd be their full-time vocation.
All right, folks, we're out of time with Sean tonight. He's the professional. Check him out every Thursday night at 8 Eastern, WLINY.com. Sean, we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Chuck Canterbury, national president of the Fraternal Order of Police, complains that public outrage over civil asset forfeiture, a process in which police and prosecutors can seize money and property from citizens without filing criminal charges, is a fake issue. Although some states have sought to reform, if not abolish, this practice, the federal government's equitable sharing program allows police to take the confiscated property and then return 90% of it to the local agency that seized it. Alabama Republican Senator Jeff Sessions, chosen by President-elect Donald Trump to serve as the next U.S. Attorney General, is a passionate supporter of asset forfeiture and the equitable sharing program. Not surprisingly, as Canterbury points out, not a single major law enforcement organization supported legislation ending the equitable sharing program. One of Canterbury's arguments is that asset forfeiture provides the police with money to buy things that they want, observes Reason magazine. It's literally an argument in favor of stealing. Canterbury describes civil asset forfeiture as a way to deprive criminals of both the proceeds and tools of crime, but this can be done through criminal forfeiture following conviction for an offense. Nor does he acknowledge that asset seizure has been used as a means to deprive defendants of the funds they need to defend themselves against charges in court. In one outrageous case in Oregon, money confiscated from a man operating a medical marijuana co-op in a state where such facilities were legal was used to pay the prosecutor who tried his criminal case. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us. theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
You just try to wrap your head around evil. That's what this is. It's evil. It's brutality. It's man's inhumanity to man. And
I don't think it's evil. I don't think it's evil. I think these are young people, and I think they have bad home training.
Okay, that was Don Lemon of CNN. That follows up what Sean Bergen was saying. Sam Bushman, the immaculate Sam Bushman, the incomparable Sam Bushman, had that clip ready for us on a moment's notice, on a dime. Don Lemon, they're basically saying that the reason these kids just went astray, and kids do the darndest thing, it was because they had poor home training, whatever that means. But Sean Bergen said a similar thing, that there needs to be more fathers in the homes of black youths. And he was dismissed from his job as a television news reporter. No chance that the same fate will befall Don Lemon. And here we go. So now joining us, we've gone from Sean Bergen now to Jim Lancia. Jim Lancia, of course, is our criminal justice correspondent here for the Political Cesspool. Former police officer in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and author of the book Downtown White Police, Demonizing the Alpha Cop, Glorifying Thugs, and Militarizing Law Enforcement. Hey, by the way, this is the first show of the new year. If you contributed at the appropriate level during the month of December, you will be receiving that very book by Jim Lancia as our incentive gift to you here in the next few days. They'll go out here shortly. As now we've processed all of the contributions in December. Be looking forward to that if you donated $100 or more. It's a great book. You're really going to enjoy it. And the author himself is here with us tonight. Hey, Jim, your thoughts on the situation in Chicago as from the perspective of a former police officer, what do you make of this?
It's good to be with you guys. As a former police officer, I am outraged. This kind of crime never stops outraging me. But there's a few other things that really bother me. First of all, the brazenness of these thugs, these 18-year-old thugs, putting it on social media, laughing as they're torturing another human being. It just never stops amazing me, even as a seasoned cop. But another thing I want to make a point of is that the way the police spokespersons handled it in the beginning. Now, you know that I usually back the cops, but I don't back stupid cop behavior. Okay, these guys came out in a news conference without making any real statement about what was going on. All they did was sound like the public defender, bringing mitigating circumstances that they're 18-year-olds and they made stupid decisions. You know, that's not what cops do. Cops are supposed to bring the facts and do the investigation. If they didn't have the facts, they shouldn't have done the news conference. They sounded stupid, and they tried to lessen the severity of this heinous crime. So I'm pissed off at the way the Chicago police handled that. Now, yes, they did have to level hate charges. There was no way they were going to get out of that one. Now, what I'm going to say here is I'm not a big fan of hate crime charges. I think that can go too much the other way, and it could be used as a political tool. But since we do have that legislation, they better use it for when it's needed to be used. And this case is a prime example. I mean, first of all, you have to have that level of racism in a crime to level hate crime charges. Now, obviously, there's video evidence showing that they were using racial epithets. So there's no doubt that it is a hate crime. They were trying to get out of that one, but they are definitely being pressured into doing it, and they should be pressured to do it. The third thing that really bothers me is not only the media, but CNN in particular, with Don Lemon and that jackass, excuse my language, I know I can't swear on this show. That's not a bad word, though. Simone Sanders on CNN, that black activist. She's like trying to just lessen what was going on and go back on to this black victimization thing. I don't know where they get these people from, but nobody has any sympathy for the victim. especially if the victim is white. And I think America, and especially white America, is getting pissed off about it. And nobody wants to hear what the Democrats have to say anymore, or the blacks whining about all this race problem. Most Americans that are awake know that the real race problem is black versus white, blacks against whites. 90% of all interracial crimes, probably more than that, FBI statistics, are committed against whites by blacks.
Jim, thank you so much for that opening salvo during this halfway point of the show, the third segment of the second an hour. Again, this is coming from a career cop, the alpha cop, Jim Lancia. And Jim is a guy who knows his stuff. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has switched co-pilot seats with Keith Alexander. Keith's done for the night. Eddie in for the second shift tonight. But turn down the mic. That's right. We got to turn it down for the Bombardier. Jim worked, as you know, regular listeners, one of the most dangerous neighborhoods, the projects of Bridgeport, Connecticut, during the height of the crack epidemic in America. And so Jim is a cop that has actually seen some hardcore stuff. Jim, did you ever see anything like this, even on your beats?
As far as social media, that wasn't even out then. But as far as interracial crime, black on white, it was exclusively black on white. Always black on white, whether it's a robbery or armed robbery or a mugging or assault or a homicide or rape. Exclusively black on white.
So this is something you're telling us. This isn't. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to make a point here. This isn't something that is your opinion. This is something that you saw firsthand. This is a firsthand accounting of a former police officer. This is the truth of how interracial crime is displayed in real life from a firsthand source. Correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm telling you right now from growing up in interracial neighborhoods, going to school in interracial neighborhoods, and being a cop in the most interracial neighborhood possible. I've seen it all, and there's no escaping it. It's nothing new. The only thing new about it is that it's now being displayed with laughter on social media to show something like this torture on social media, and it's being condoned by major media outlets. Or at least trivialized. And then the cops themselves, the Chicago cops themselves, I don't like the way they handled it. They almost sounded like the public defender of these 18-year-olds. Let me tell you something. They said that they were 18-year-old kids. At 18 years old, I was in a patrol car. I was a cop at 18 years old. Okay, so they gave me the authority of life and death and to take away people's liberty and to make major decisions as an 18-year-old. These 18-year-olds were adults, and they know exactly what they're doing. So I don't want to
hear that
from cops especially.
That is an incredible point. Thank you so much for making it, Jim. We're about to come up on our next break, and we have you for another segment after this. But we got Eddie the Bombardier Miller here, and he was not a cop, but he was a lifelong nurse after serving two tours in Vietnam as a combat medic. Eddie, did you see anything like this even in Vietnam, even in a war zone? Would you have treated Charlie like this?
Well, I'll tell you, no. I would like to go back to what Jim says. Eddie here, Jim. Great to have you on. I can verify. I saw exactly the same thing in some of the roughest parts of Memphis. I grew up in some of the roughest parts of Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee, we have the proud distinction of being one of the per capita. We probably have maybe not quite as many murders as Washington, D.C., and Chicago, but we have it's considered one of the most dangerous cities in the United States, especially for its size. I grew up in a very dangerous part of Memphis, and what I saw was exactly what you saw. It was the crime was exclusively black on white. I've had so much crime perpetrated on me. As a matter of fact, getting drafted, and I'm saying this with full sincerity, getting drafted during the Vietnam War probably saved my life. Plus, I was wild as a buck. But I would like to go back to something else. They keep talking about this home training. Well, I'd like to say, who did the home training? Well, you have blacks training blacks. The black mammies treated these thugs, that trained these thugs, they were treated by other blacks. I'll tell you, it's strictly genetics. It's been proved out 100,000 times. It's strictly genetics. It's just like the Bible says. You know, when the Bible's talking about this is with the Muslims. You know, the son, Abraham had a son by an Arab. All right, and the Bible says his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. He will be a wild man. That's what we see here with these black thugs. And the only way, I mean, the only way you can handle these people is just raw, merciless power and force. That's the only way you can be handled. You cannot treat them
through the legal system, of course.
Through the legal system and the paralegal system like we had back until the 1920s. You know,
Well, hey, listen, we got a guy who can testify to that, a lifelong cop, a man who spent his career protecting and serving his community as a member of the law enforcement community. We'll be back with Jim Lancia. More on Chicago and from Fort Lauderdale. We got to talk about that some
Let's
next.
Hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
I worry about my parents because I think smoking is going to harm them. I mean, it harms my mom. She coughs all the time. I'm just like, Mom, it's because of your smoking. But she's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke, and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking, and I've, like, tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking, because my mom sends those things out. And she's, like, sitting here folding them up, and I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong, and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, James Edwards, Eddie the Bombardier Miller now in with me in the studio. Jim Lancia with us, our criminal justice correspondent, former police officer, author of the book Downtown White Police, which our contributor during the month of November who gave $100 or more will be receiving in the mail in a few days' time. Stay tuned for that. But, Jim, I want to switch gears to the situation in Fort Lauderdale. But first, a few questions have come in for you that I would like this to be sort of a rapid-fire exchange. I'll ask you the question. If you could answer it in, say, 30 seconds or less, so we can cover a lot of ground quickly. And then we really need to cover Fort Lauderdale, and I'd like to cover it with you. Why would the Chicago Police Department not charge this as a hate crime right off the bat after seeing that video?
Probably the same reason why the media doesn't want to talk about black-on-white racism. Same reason. Politically enslaved. Police departments and the higher echelons are part of this political game of trying to cover up black-on-white crime. The street cop isn't that way, but it is the upper echelon cops that are being controlled by political correctness. That's the easiest way I could break it down.
And this is coming from a career police officer, ladies and gentlemen. This is almost a rhetorical question at this point. Had it been four whites abusing a mentally disabled black man, would the situation, commentary, and a reaction from the police department in Chicago be a little different, Jim?
Of course it would. If you remember after Dylann Roof, right, and I know you guys have mentioned this, there was some black professors actually tweeting that all guns should be taken away from all white Americans. He actually made that statement. And this guy's supposed to be a professor at a college. I forgot where it was, but it was pretty much outrageous. But see, this is what they say after an isolated incident of a white doing something to a black. But remember, these incidents of torture on white people are not isolated. Do you remember little Jonathan Foster? Like you said, the Shannon Christian in Tennessee. Remember Jonathan Foster kidnapped by a black woman, blowtorched to death on Christmas Day? This was years back. Nobody talks about it. Nobody even hears about these things. This is a common thing. It's very common. I did a video talking about how common it is every year. I was amazed myself at how many times this happens. Torture of whites in the United States. It goes unspoken.
Jim, we even have a policeman who was tortured to death here in Memphis, Tennessee, back in the mid to early 80s. And God knows how many more policemen have been killed that the media just hush-hups. They just put a blanket on it. But James was too young to remember, but it was a place called Shannon Avenue in, here in like North Memphis. And the two police went in to arrest somebody for some kind of just mediocre crime. You know, I don't know. It wasn't a low-level felony or misdemeanor. But anyway, one of the policemen got snatched in by a gang of blacks, and they tortured him for 2 to 3 days. And it was just pathetic because, you know, like you said, the politicians would not let the police go in and charge that house and rescue that cop. He was tortured to death. It happens all the time. And I maintain to you, and until someone can prove me different, it's strictly genetic, you know. And even some of the more intelligent blacks here in Memphis are actually saying the same thing, you know. If they don't police their ranks, Jim, if these blacks, it's the more intelligent blacks, if they don't start policing their ranks, they're all going to be in danger. They're going to be hell to pay because the white people are. Surely God, there's got to be a line in the sand somewhere that they will not be pushed back across and they will rise up and take
care
of the problem.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. That line certainly hasn't been crossed yet because now you have so many whites afflicted with this pathological altruism that any sense of pride, any reaction other than utter self-hatred is white supremacy. That's something that we've got to deal with. And certainly we should stand in solidarity as a community when situations like this happen and not allow the double standard to be employed. Jim, very quickly, because we do have to get to the situation of Fort Lauderdale, a question has been asked, since this was broadcast online, could there be federal charges applied? In other words, and you can answer that as a standalone question, but who should have jurisdiction here, the Chicago Police Department or the FBI?
Well, the Attorney General, Federal Attorney General, can make it a federal thing. They've done it, but the Obama administration won't do it. I mean, there's no way.
And we're in an interesting – well, I was just going to say, we're in an interesting this crime occurred at a very interesting time in that it's at the very end of the Obama administration, right as Trump is transitioning in. So it's happening in apparently, for lack of a better term, a sweet period.
Yeah, well, here's an interesting fact. you're talking about federal hate crimes. Of all the knockout games against whites, which is predominantly black against white, there was one stupid white kid that actually played the knockout game and hit some black person and was charged with a federal hate crime. The only hate crime charged for one of the knockout games was a white kid, the one white kid that did it. Isn't that amazing? Under the Obama administration, none for the blacks. This shows you that they are not interested in bringing justice. They enabled the black thugs to take over. That's why Black Lives Matter is invited into the White House. We can see we have a thug president, so thuggery is more prominent today than it ever has been. The difference between cops when I was a cop with a great police chief is whenever people would act out and bring crime into a particular neighborhood, the cops would get more aggressive. We would be more aggressive, and the city would love us for it. Today, the criminals act out, the cops back off. That's not necessarily the cops' fault, but it's the politically enslaved police chiefs that tell the cops to back off. And that's the difference,
you know, Jim,
today and when I was a cop.
You and James Reeves raised an interesting question about making this a federal crime. I remember when Rodney King was pulled over in L.A., and I was able to talk to that police chief. I can't remember his name now. But, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Rodney King, the people that arrested him, they were acquitted, you know, the cops. But the feds came in and charged them with violating his constitutional rights. So, see, the feds can always come in. If the feds want to come in, they can come in. But you are absolutely right. As long as we have this thugocracy going on in D.C. led by the chief thug, thank God he's going to be out soon. You're right, Jim. I can't see the feds ever stepping in.
Well, and hey, look, everyone, Trump promised he was running to be the law and order candidate. Let's hope that he makes good on that promise, because if he does, there will be a changing of the guard, at least with regard to situations like this. But, Jim, I want to ask you now, this situation in Fort Lauderdale, and again, it's getting shortchanged. Thankfully for the press, this occurred because they can shift what little interest they gave to the situation in Chicago to this. But you know that the press was saying, after the word broke that there was a mass shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport, please God, excuse me, they don't believe in him. Please Satan, let this
well,
be.
Well, they do. They believe a different God we believe in.
Please Satan, let this be a white Trump supporter. But no, Jim, you had, according to reports, a Latino Muslim. I mean, that is a hybrid of all hybrids, a double dip of diversity, the personification of why we should both build the wall and register radical Islamicists. A Latino Muslim, a Latino who converted to Islamicism, responsible for the death of at least five in Fort Lauderdale. Your take on this story, which, of course, broke yesterday.
Well, most of the mass shootings in the U.S. and even in Europe have ISIS written all over it, and they don't make any bones about it. They come out right out in the open and say it. The fact that the FBI had this guy on their radar and let him go after he said that he was inspired by ISIS is beyond me. I don't know what the FBI is doing. I mean, I don't know how they're not watching a guy like this and keeping an eye on him so he doesn't do something like this. I mean, they're snooping on law-abiding Americans and letting guys like this walk out of their office after he says that he's inspired by ISIS. This is crazy. What was the other part of that question?
Well, first of all, I would say very quickly, I received a call in some not-so-subtle intimidation.
That's right.
From the Department of Homeland Security last summer. Well, actually, it was summer before last, summer of 2015, for wanting to hold a rally that actually drew 600 people at Nathan Bedford Forest Park in Tennessee. Homeland Security was monitoring that, but people like this could slip through the cracks. What I was saying, though, was the press surely wanted this to be a white Trump supporter, or at least a white man responsible for the shooting. You knew it wasn't a white man within 5 minutes after news broke and the race of the alleged perpetrator wasn't immediately announced. It turned out to be a Latino who had converted into Islam, a Latino Muslim, whatever that is. But I was just asking basically if this is not the embodiment of why we should both build the wall and register members of radical Islam, have a Muslim registry. I hope this demonstrates to Trump why he should make good on his campaign promises.
Well, you know what? I don't have a lot of faith because I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Why do we even have to bring anybody in? If the American public knew just how much money we were spending on bringing soldier-aged Muslim males who hate America, bringing in diseases and radical terrorism. These people are being brought to this country, given apartments, given money, and we have vets that are dying in front of the VA hospitals. You know how many vets have committed suicide? You know how many vets are dying from not receiving proper medical care? And these people come in like dignitaries, and Obama can't wait to just bring as many as possible in here? That's not how it's supposed to be done. That's why everybody's so outraged right now. But
hey, Jim,
it's wrong, and we need to build walls, and we need to make sure that these people don't even come in here in the first place.
Amen to that. Jim Lancia, former
Jim's
cop.
Great, Jim's the man. Jim and,
Sean Bergen. Hey, we got a great crew here. Thank you, Jim. We love you. We'll talk to you again very soon. Stay tuned, everybody, for the third and final hour.